Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatta Adishatari Srila Prabhupada Ki Hare Krishna. So, in ISKCON today, BBT has published the Brihad Bhagavatamritam by Srila Sanatana Goswami in 3 volumes. Each volume has about 800 pages. So, it's 3 volume, consists of about 2,500 pages. How many of you read that Brihad Bhagavatamritam? Please raise your hands. Okay. And how many of you have seen that book? Okay. And how many of you want to hear about Srimad Brihad Bhagavatamritam? Okay. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, Brihat Bhagavatam Ritam. The word Brihat means large or great, and Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Amrita means nectar. The nectar of great Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam means the narrations about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavan and Bhagavatam. Things that have been spoken about the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Bhagavatam, and this is the Brihad Bhagavatam. Like we have Bhagavatam, like Srimad Bhagavatam, and Brihad Bhagavatam is actually the expansion of Srimad Bhagavatam. How many of you have read Srimad Bhagavatam? Very good. And Bhagavatam is giving us the informations about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Brihad Bhagavatam is the extension of Srimad Bhagavatam, written by Srila Sanatana Goswami. And Brihad Bhagavatam Ritam is actually in 2 parts. The first part is describing Narad Muni's search of the greatest devotee. And the second part is the journey of a boy called Gop Kumar to the spiritual sky. A boy, cowherd boy from Govardhan, how he went back to Godhead, that has been described in the second part. Today I will discuss the first part, and tomorrow and day after tomorrow I will discuss about the second part of Brihad Bhagavatam. So first part is describing Narad Muni's search of the greatest devotee. How is Narad Muni searching for the greatest devotee? That has been described. And in this way, Srila Sanatana Goswami is giving us the understanding of gradually elevating on the platform of devotion. How one level of devotion is leading to the next level of devotion. In this way, step by step, the first, in Narad Muni's search for the greatest devotee is leading us to finding the greatest devotee. Actually, Brihad Bhagavatamritam begins with Parikshit Maharaj heard about Srimad Bhagavatam, narration of Srimad Bhagavatam from Srila Sukadev Goswami. So, Sukadev Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. Do you all remember what happened at that time? Parikshit Maharaj was cursed. How many of you remember that incident? Parikshit Maharaj was cursed. By whom? Very good. And what was the curse? That he would die within 7 days being bitten by Takshak, the celestial serpent. And so Parikshit Maharaj got to know that now he has only 7 days and he is going to be, he'll go back to Godhead. He'll finish his business in this material nature. He had only 7 days to finish his business in this material nature. So, when one gets to know that the time has come for him to leave the planet, what should he do? What should a devotee do at that time? A devotee prepares himself to remember Krishna, right? Ante Narayana Smriti. A devotee knows that at the time of death one must remember Krishna, because by remembering Krishna one can achieve the ultimate perfection of his life. Therefore, what did Parikshit Maharaj do? Parikshit Maharaj left everything. He left his kingdom, he left his family, and he went to the bank of Jamuna. And he sat there to prepare himself for his departure from this planet. That situation is called prayopobeshan. Upobeshan means sitting down. Sitting down to meet his ultimate end. Without eating, without sleeping, he is just now preparing himself to leave his body. So upon hearing that the king of this world has been, king of this planet has been cursed, and now he is preparing to leave his body, all the saintly personalities, great personalities, all assembled there. And at that time, Sukadev Goswami arrived. And Sukadev Goswami then started to advise Parikshit Maharaj. And that is Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, after Srila Sukadev Goswami narrated Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj, at that time Parikshit Maharaj's mother, Uttara Devi, she asked Parikshit Maharaj to tell her what he heard, what wisdom he received from Srila Sukadev Goswami. And then Parikshit Maharaj started to tell his mother, Uttara Devi, this Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Parikshit Maharaj told that after hearing from Srila Sukadev Goswami, I was actually thinking of remaining silent and contemplating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But your question, my mother, my dear mother, is so profound that it is making me eloquent. It is making, is giving me the urge to speak about what I actually heard and what I understood from Sukadev Goswami. And then he started to describe this Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He said in Prayag, in the month of Magh, the Magh month is like December, January. This is the time, the Kumbh Mela actually takes place in Prayag. Prayag is the confluence of three holy rivers, Ganga, Jamuna and Saraswati. Nowadays, Prayag is known as Allahabad. Muslim name. They changed the name. Actually, the land is, it was called Allahabad, the land of God. It's actually Allahabad, the land of God. Allah in Muslim means God, and Bad is the land of Allah. Very good. But according to our understanding, it is Prayag, the confluence of three holy rivers. At that time there, as you know, during Kumbh Mela, lots of people assemble in Prayag to take a bath in the river and the confluence of these three rivers. So, after taking the bath, all these saintly personalities were sitting there in great jubilation. They were glorifying each other, saying, oh, you are the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. So, this is the natural characteristic of a saintly person. The saintly persons, they like to glorify other saintly persons because they recognize the qualities of a saintly person. Whereas the materialistic person, a materialistic person wants to hear about his own glory. Whereas a saintly person likes to sing the other's glories. That is the difference between material tendencies and spiritual tendencies. The spiritual tendency is to praise the other devotees, glorify the other devotees. So, they were just glorifying each other, saying that you are the greatest devotee. So, at that time, a very opulent Brahmin came there along with his family members. And they brought various types of preparations, and they cleaned the place. The Brahmana himself cleaned the place, smeared the place with cow dung to sanctify the place. Then he put a chandratap, a canopy on top to create the shade for the people to sit under, and there he brought his Shaligram Shila, and he put the Shaligram, the Lord, in the form of Shaligram, he placed the Shaligram on a golden throne, and he made all these offerings to the Lord, and then he fed all the Brahmanas there and the Vaishnavas there who assembled. He actually came with great respect to worship the Lord, and then with equal respect he feed the Vaishnavas. And then he feed all the people who were there. And then he feed the antajas, those who are considered to be outcast. And even the animals, the dogs and jackals, birds, like he fed all these creatures. And then when the saintly people there started to tell them that now you please honor some prasad, then being requested by them, they honored the prasad. The brahmana honored the prasad with his family. Now seeing the devotion of this brahmana and his family members, Narad Muni started to glorify him, that you are the recipient of the mercy of the Lord. You are the greatest devotee. But hearing that, the brahmana said, what devotion did you see in me? I am a mortal living entity, mortal human being. Whatever little opulence that you are seeing is nothing. But the actual devotee is Indra. The actual devotee are the demigods. They reside in the heavenly planet. Compared to their opulence, compared to their ability to serve the Lord, I missed one point. He said actually the greatest devotee is the king in South India. He started to explain that, say, I'm a brahmana. My business is to worship the Lord. So whatever ability I have, with that ability I try to serve the Lord and his devotees. But this king, he is so opulent, and with great grandeur he worships the Lord in his kingdom. And he was actually trying to imply that I am a brahmana, worshipping the Lord is my business. But this king, he is a warrior, he is a kshatriya. But what great devotion he has for the Lord. And he has so much opulence. And in this way he started to glorify that king. So upon hearing that, Narad Muni decided to go to South India to meet that king. So when Narad Muni was, as you know, Narad Muni has the ability to go anywhere in no time. Narad Muni can actually travel with the speed of a mind. So as Narad Muni came there, he found that there are many temples in that kingdom. And in the capital, he has a beautiful temple of the Lord. And there the king is making all the arrangements to worship him with the greatest possible grandeur. The Lord is being worshipped with so many articles and paraphernalia, and the beautiful temple, and thousands of people are coming there for darshan, and they are all getting the prasad of the Lord. And so seeing that, Narad Muni was so impressed, he actually felt that the description of the brahmana gave actual glory of the king is much, I'm sorry, the description that the brahmana gave to Narad Muni, the actual greatness of the king is far superior to that description. So being completely overwhelmed by the devotion of this king, Narad Muni started to glorify him, that you are the greatest devotee. You are the recipient of the Lord's mercy. And he started to explain him that although you are a king, You are using all your abilities and resources to glorify and worship the Lord. But when Narad Muni started to glorify the king in this way, the king told him that, look, I am just an ordinary human being. Like, what is my ability? But the actual glory, the actual recipient of the Lord's mercy is are the demigods. They live in the heavenly planet. Their body is so powerful. They live for such a long time. And they have so much opulence. They drink nectar. And by drinking nectar, they have become free from old age and disease and death. And their devotion to the Lord is far superior to ours. And among them, the king of the demigods, Indra, is the greatest of all devotees. And what to speak of his opulence, like his kingdom in heavenly planet, Swargaloka. There he has his horse, a very special horse called Uccheshrava, the elephant called Airavat, and there is this beautiful garden called Nandan Kanan, and in Nandan Kanan there are kalpa vrikshas and parijata trees, and this flowers of this parijata tree can fulfill all desires, can bestow the most wonderful opulence that one can ever imagine. So when he started to describe Indra's opulence and Indra's devotion to the Lord, then Narad Muni went to heavenly planet, Swargaloka. And there he saw that Lord Bamandev, Indra's younger brother, the Lord has appeared as Indra's younger brother. He's sitting next to Indra. And he is assuring Indra not to be worried about anything else, not to be afraid of anything else. So Narad Muni watched this beautiful sight, that how merciful the Lord is to this Indra. And then after some time, the Lord left. And then Narad Muni approached Indra and started to glorify him, saying that he was the greatest of all devotees. Then hearing that, Indra became very embarrassed. He looked downwards and he said, Narad Muni, what kind of good fortune, what kind of mercy that you see in me? Like, actually, I offend the Lord so much. So many times I caused him so much distress. And whenever I get into trouble, the Lord has to take the trouble to come and rescue me from that situation. Bali Maharaj took away my kingdom and made the demons. He became Indra and make the demons the controller of different affairs of this universe. Sun, moon, these planets were being controlled then by the demons, daityas, and the whole situation, all the control of the universe was taken away by them, and we were hiding because so he became so powerful, and his business was to trouble us, the demigods. Now, seeing our distressful condition, Our father and our mother performed great austerities, and that is why the Lord actually came. It is because of my parents' austerities and prayers that the Lord appeared. There is no devotion on my part in that. It is due to their prayers and performance of austerities that He came to save my situation. And that is why He appeared as my brother. But ultimately, it is so embarrassing for me that He had to deceive Bali to take the kingdom away from him and give it to me. And that way, He actually glorified Bali. And in this way, Muni heard that from Indra. Then Narad Muni went to Sataloka. And he started to glorify Brahma. When he went there, he found that Brahma, surrounded by all the Brahmarshis, was performing the great sacrifice, and the Lord was there, Sahasra Shisha Purusha, with 1,000 heads, along with Lakshmi Devi. He was bestowing His mercy upon all the residents of Sataloka. And after some time, the Lord left. So then Narada Muni started to glorify Brahma, that how he was the recipient of Lord's true mercy. So when Brahma heard that Narada was describing that he is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then Brahma just covered his 8 ears with his 8 hands and started to say, "I am his servant, I am his servant." And he said, he told him, "Narad, since your childhood I am telling you never to make the same mistake, never to think that I am the greatest. I am only the insignificant servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that you are saying that I am the recipient of His mercy, but so many times I committed so much offenses to Him." And then Brahma started to tell Narada about how he stole the cows, the calves and the cowherd boys, and in this way he caused so much distress to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And in this way, Brahma began to lament, and he started to shed tears remembering those days, those incidents when he offended the Supreme Personality of Godhead in so many different ways. And so and then he began to explain that how often he committed so many offenses, and I'm just rushing it through, knowing that not much time is there for covering the whole thing. And then he began to explain that how Krishna is actually the supreme creator, the supreme maintainer, and the supreme destroyer of everything, and all the living entities, everyone else is just subservient to Him. They all are His servants. And And then Brahma began to lament that so often being being unable to recognize him, I commit so many offenses. So many times he gave me the warning also, like when Hiranyakashipu was killed. Hiranyakashipu became so powerful being blessed by me, getting the benedictions from me, and he started to torture Prahlad. The only defect according to him was that he was a devotee. Hiranyakashipu was so antagonistic to the Lord that because his son became a devotee of the Lord, he wanted to kill him. But the Lord protected Prahlad time and time again. And then finally, he had to come himself. And he killed Hiranyakashipu. And after killing him, he actually chastised me. He said, "Brahma, never give such boons to these demons. You give these boons and as a result of that, they become so powerful, they create so much disturbance and I have to come. So never ever give such. Never ever give benedictions like this to the demons." But then Brahma started to lament. "But although the Lord warned me in this way, but still I make the same mistake. The demons, they please me by their austerities, or they create so much disturbance by these austerities that in order to rectify the situation, I have to give them some benedictions, and getting those benedictions, they become so powerful and then they create so much disturbance. And so finally, the Lord has to come." And those who are even my subordinates, my people, the demigods, they're my people. They cause so much distress to the Lord. That Indra tried to destroy Vrindavan. Varuna stole the Lord's father, Nanda Maharaj. And Jamraj killed his guru's son. So in this way, Brahma, and then Kubera's associate, Shankarchura, he offended him in such a terrible way. And what to speak of the Danavas from lower planetary systems. These are all my creation, my arrangement, and being empowered by my blessings, they simply create disturbance to the Lord. And you are saying, "I am the recipient of the Lord's mercy." And so then Brahma started to tell in Narad that, "Narad, actually Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee." So then he started to describe that the greatness of Lord Shiva. That drinking the nectar of the lotus feet of the Lord, he has become so ecstatic that he does not have any awareness of the external nature. Although he has all the opulences, he is totally unconcerned about them. He simply stays smearing ashes in his body, wearing the garland of the bones of dead people, and this is how great a devotee he is, that he doesn't have any external consciousness as such, and he is actually the greatest devotee. Then But although Lord Shiva tries to hide his identity as a great devotee, but he can't. Because from his actions it becomes clear. Like he is holding Ganga on his head. Because Ganga is coming down from the lotus feet of the Lord. After washing the lotus feet of the Lord, Ganga is coming down. And that water of Ganga, Lord Shiva is holding on his head. And in his ecstasy, he is dancing delightfully. By the mercy of the Lord, Shiva is so powerful that he can grant liberation. And not only Lord Shiva, his wife Parvati also can grant the same liberation to their devotees. The residents of Shiva Loka are all liberated souls. So many living entities have become liberated and devotees of Krishna by Lord Shiva's mercy. So this is how he started to glorify Lord Shiva and saying that Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee. Then Narad Muni went to Lord Shiva and he started to glorify Lord Shiva as the greatest devotee. Now here you see one thing, a very wonderful characteristic of a devotee. A devotee, he doesn't consider himself to be a devotee. A real devotee always tries to avoid taking any credit for devotion. And he is actually pointing out to a devotee who is greater than him. Because a devotee recognizes who is a greater devotee. And this is not some just some sentimental statements. It is his heartfelt understanding. So then Narad Muni went to Lord Shiva and he started to glorify Lord Shiva as the greatest devotee. What he heard from Brahma, he started to glorify him according to those descriptions. But hearing that, Lord Shiva told Narad, that Narad, why do you embarrass me in this way? I am not a devotee. I couldn't become a devotee at all. The Lord has been very kind to me. But so many times I make so many mistakes. I fought with the Lord. I fought with him. Not only once, so many times. Failing to recognize his identity, I treated him like an enemy. And he started to describe that when Aniruddha went to the palace of Vanasura and he got involved with Usha, Vanasura's daughter. And how many of you know the story? How many of you don't know the story? How many of you want to hear the story? Okay, I'll shortly, I'll briefly describe. Vanasura was a great demon who was a devotee of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva actually gave him the boon, gave him the assurance that he would protect him under all circumstances. So, his kingdom was known as Shonitpur. Mind you, Shonit means blood, the city of blood. So you can well imagine what kind of an individual he was, living in the city of blood. So, but his daughter Usha was extremely beautiful. And Usha had a dream. In a dream, she fell in love with a person. And Usha had a friend who had the great mystic power. And she started to show the pictures of all important personalities in the universe. And so Usha said, no, not this, not this, not this. Then finally, when Krishna's grandson, Pradyumna's son, Aniruddha's picture was shown, she actually could paint the pictures of different persons. And she said, yes, this is the person. And so then she, with a mystic power, when Aniruddha was far asleep in the palace, stole him and brought him to the palace of Vanasura. And inside, you see, in the Vedic culture, women are very carefully protected. They stay in the inner part of the house and nobody, no outsider can actually meet them. So in that area where Usha was staying, no man could ever enter there. It was so well guarded. But she brought him there, and so they fell in love with each other, and as a result of that, Usha became pregnant. So her mother could see that the signs of pregnancy in her, and she went and told her husband that, look. And so, becoming very, very angry, Vanasura came there. And he found Aniruddha. So he told his bodyguards to arrest Aniruddha. But Aniruddha just picked up an iron rod, and with that iron rod he started to fight. And he defeated all his bodyguards. All his soldiers were defeated in this way, one after another. So then Vanasura, with his mystic power, he used the Nagpash, the bond of the snakes. And this is how Aniruddha was captured. And he kept him in prison. The news reached Dwarka. And then, in order to rescue Aniruddha, Krishna and Balaram came, and a big fight ensued. The Vanasura was in great difficulty, so he prayed to Lord Shiva. Then Lord Shiva came to fight on behalf of Vanasura, and finally Lord Shiva was defeated, and he realized that this personality, Krishna, is actually his Lord and Master. And he fell at his feet, begged forgiveness, and Krishna, Vanasura had 1,000 arms. Krishna chopped off his 996 arms with his Sudarshan Chakra and kept only 4. So Lord Shiva actually remembered that incident, and he reminded Narad Muni that this is how I treated the Lord. And you are saying that I am the object of his mercy. And then he also started to tell him that so many times I give these benedictions to all these demons, and they cause so much disturbance to the Lord. And being in distress, I take shelter of him, and then he has to come and do something to save my situation. Then he spoke about Tripurasura. Tripurasura was blessed by Lord Shiva, and he turned against Lord Shiva. And then finally the Lord had to actually come to his rescue. Then there was another demon called Brikasura. That was another very interesting story. This Vrikasura was performing sacrifice by cutting his flesh and offering it to the fire, asking Lord Shiva to come. Om Namah Shivaya. So he was offering his own flesh as the offering. And when, after great long performance of the sacrifice, when Lord Shiva didn't come, he was about to cut off his own head and offer it in the fire. So at that time Lord Shiva came to him, said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want this power that whosoever I would put my hand on, his head will crack into 1,000 pieces. That means he will die." So Lord Shiva said, "Granted, take that boon." Then he said, "Are you sure I can do that?" Then he said, "Yes, my words will never go in vain. I don't trust you. I have to check. After so much trouble, I got this boon. Now I want to make sure that you are not deceiving me." So Lord Shiva said, "Okay, try it out." Then he said, "Okay, you are the only person who is here. So I want to, let me try out on your head." So then Lord Shiva realized that he is in trouble, so he ran. And Vanasura, the Vrikasura also was running after him. So he just... and then the Lord came and said, "Shiva, what happened?" And he was actually praying to the Lord, "My Lord, please save me from this terrible situation." Then the Lord came and said, "Okay, Lord Shiva, I'll do something about it." So he assumed the form of a little boy and he saw Vanasura. He said, "Hey, why are you running so fast? Where are you going?" He said, "Look, that Shiva gave me a boon that on whosoever I place my hand on, his head would crack into 1,000 pieces. And so I wanted to try out on him, but he is running away. So I want to make sure that the boon that he gave me is real." So this little boy said, "What? You place your hand and on somebody's head and head would crack? It can never happen." So he said, "No, he told me that it will happen. The main thing is, the Lord can cast his Maya and bewilder anybody." Right? So he actually bewildered Vrikasura this way. And then Lord said that, "That's not true, it can never happen. So why don't you just put your hand on your own head?" So he put his hand on his head and his head cracked into 1,000 pieces and Vrikasura was dead. So Lord Shiva remembered all those incidents and started to lament that how many times, how often he actually causes so much distress to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way, Narad Muni saw the glory of Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva pointed out that, then Lord Shiva actually started to tell him that the real devotees are the residents of Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha, they are such... they are so dear to the Lord that they have become his own people, own associates. The residents of Vaikuntha are beyond this material nature. Their form is Satchidananda Vigraha. Their form is of transcendental nature, of eternity, knowledge and bliss. And they are his eternal associates, and all they want is simply to serve the Lord and please the Lord, and the Lord is always associating with them with such love and affection. And then he, in this way he started to glorify the residents of Vaikuntha as the greatest devotee. And then Parvati told that of all the residents of the Vaikuntha, Lakshmi Devi is the greatest devotee. And she is the Patibrata Shiromani. She is the most chaste of all women. And so much so that whenever Lord, she never is separated from the Lord. She is always with the Lord. And whenever Lord assumes some form as an incarnation, Lakshmi Devi appears with him. So in this way, Parvati Devi pointed out that the Lakshmi Devi is the greatest devotee. And so when Narada Muni was about to go to Vaikuntha, then Lord Shiva stopped him, holding his hand. And said, see, actually the Lord now is in Dwarka. In Dwarka, he is residing, and but then he pointed out, Narad, I want to reveal a great secret to you. And he whispered into the ears of Narad. And Narad, actually the greatest devotee is Prahlad. When the Lord was so angry after killing Hiranyakashipu, even Lakshmi could not approach him. I couldn't approach him, Lakshmi couldn't approach him. None of the demigods could approach him. But Prahlad just went and pacified him. And at that time, Lord picked him up, placed him on his lap, and he licked his body. So that was the display of how great a recipient of mercy Prahlad is. And the Lord wanted to give Prahlad liberation. But Prahlad didn't want liberation. He simply wanted devotion. And whatever the Lord wanted, just Prahlad was happy to do that. The Lord wanted him to become the king. And he accepted that. Although he could have gone back with the Lord to the spiritual sky. And also, the Lord is so merciful to Prahlad that when Bali committed so many offenses, the Lord actually forgave him because he was the grandson of Prahlad. And then when Narad Muni was about to go to Prahlad, then the Lord told then Lord Shiva told him that when you meet him, please offer him my obeisances. So when Narad Muni went to Prahlad and started to glorify him, Prahlad Maharaj started to say, my Lord Narad Muni, please don't speak like that. Actually, what kind of devotion is there in me? Whatever devotion was there as a child, I just developed some attachment to the Lord. But there was no awareness of what devotion actually is. I didn't know what devotion is. I simply developed some attachment and I depended upon Him. And that is what my attachment was to the Lord. And in this way Prahlad Maharaj started to glorify. Then the Prahlad Maharaj started to glorify Hanuman and said, look, the amount of devotion the Lord, that Hanuman had for the Lord. Actually, devotion is displayed by service. In me, it was, I used to just remember the Lord. But just remembrance is not devotion. The devotion is displayed through service. So, look, the amount of service Hanuman has rendered towards the Lord. The Hanuman, from his childhood, he was such a great devotee. And he was blessed by the demigods. And as a child, he acquired all these wonderful powers. And all these powers that he acquired was used in serving the Lord. He jumped across the ocean. 800 miles he jumped to go to Lanka. And there he not only got the message of Sita, he wanted to create fear in the hearts of the demons, Rakshasas. So he attacked, he challenged the Rakshasas single-handedly. Although he was alone in the kingdom of the Rakshasas, he challenged them. And he killed so many of these Rakshasas. Those who came to arrest him, he killed them all. And then he destroyed their palaces. Then he burnt Lanka. And then he brought the news of Sita Devi. The Lord was so pleased with him that he embraced him. Whoever received such mercy of the Lord? And then when the time came to build a to take the army of the monkeys across the ocean, there they decided to build a bridge. And in that mission, Hanuman played the most significant role. See, what an amazing service he rendered. Then when Lakshman was hurt, struck by shell, and it seemed that Lakshman was going to die, the only thing that could save Lakshman at that time was Vishalakarani. And Vishalakarani was in the Himalayan mountain. He is in the southern part, in Sri Lanka, about 800 miles away from the southernmost tip of India. And Hanuman jumped, at least first jump was 800 miles, but this jump is more than double that jump. Hanuman did that. Then he couldn't figure out what is Vishalakarani, he couldn't recognize what that herb was. So he uprooted the whole Gandhamadan mountain and carried the mountain all the way back to Lanka. So who can ever render such service to the Lord? And that's why Hanuman is the greatest of all the devotees of the Lord. So Narad Muni became ecstatic hearing the glory of Hanuman. So he now went to King Purushvarsha, where Hanuman was. And when he came, when he was approaching, there he found that Hanuman surrounded by other associates said, who are singing the glory of Lord Ramchandra, and Hanuman sitting there with his eyes closed, just tears flowing from his eyes, hearing the glory of his master. And Narad Muni started to also sing the glory of the of Lord Ramchandra. He Janaki Nath, He Raghunandan, He Sitapati. And hearing the glory of his master being sung in that way, Hanuman opened his eyes and he saw Narad Muni. So he jumped. Narad Muni was flying through the sky and Hanuman jumped, and in mid-air they embraced each other. And they started to, in the space, they started to dance, holding on to each other. Hanuman is saying, my Lord, you are so kind that you are singing the glory of my Lord and Master, Sri Ramchandra. And he also started to sing, Jai Raghunandan, Jai Sitapati. And then Narad Muni started to glorify Hanuman as the greatest devotee, as the recipient of the Lord's mercy. Then Hanuman started to cry, like as if the fire just caught the dry grass, inflammable object. They're like a flash, it just burned, started to burn. As if Hanuman's heart started to burn due to the separation from his master, and tears started to flow from his eyes. Then Hanuman, tears, shedding tears from his eyes, started to tell him that, please don't speak like that. My heart is so much afflicted due to his separation. And you are saying that I am the recipient of his mercy. If I was the recipient of his mercy, then why did he leave me? He took Sugriv, Angad and other monkeys with him, but he left me behind. And I am burning in the fire of agony due to his separation. Then Hanuman started to say that actually the Pandavas are the recipient of his mercy. And he started to glorify the Pandavas, that they are so dear to the Lord that they, the Lord always protected them. They always there. He was always there to save them from different types of calamities. And they are so dear to him. They do not know anyone but Krishna. And Krishna also always concerned about their welfare. From their childhood they had gone through so many trials, so many tribulations, but the Lord had been always there to protect them from those calamities. I feel good that my brother Bhima is one of them. Bhima is also Hanuman's half-brother, Pavan Dev's son. But his devotion to the Lord is so wonderful that although he is younger to me, but I feel as if he is my older brother. And Arjun is so dear to the Lord that the Lord offered his own sister to him in marriage. And I feel good that Arjun, who is so dear to the Lord, he has me on top of his chariot on the flag. So in this way Hanuman started to glorify the Pandavas. And so then Narad Muni went to the Pandavas in Hastinapur. And when he started to describe them as the greatest recipient of Lord's mercy, the Pandavas, headed by Yudhishthira Maharaj, started to tell him that actually the real recipients of the Lord's mercy are the Jadavas in Dwarka, the Jadus. they are Lord's immediate relatives, and the Lord is always with them, and they are so dear to Him that they got Him as their intimate relative. And these Jadavas, they don't know anyone but Jadunath Krishna as their worshipable Lord. So then Narad Muni then went to Dwarka. So to the assembly, the Sudharma assembly. Ugrasen was sitting on the throne, surrounded by the head of the Jadus, and Narad Muni started to glorify the Jadus as the greatest devotee. But they told him, no, we are not the greatest devotee. Actually, Uddhav is the greatest devotee. Uddhav is so dear to the Lord that the Lord has accepted him not only as his friend but also his counselor, his minister. And Uddhav is so attached to him from his childhood, he didn't know anything but Krishna. At an age when one plays with toys, Uddhav was always thinking about Krishna. He did not have any interest in anything else but to be with Krishna. And he was always with Krishna. Even now, before Krishna gets up, Uddhav comes to him. And at night, only after Krishna goes to bed, then Uddhav returns to his home. Uddhav is so attached to the Lord that he takes only things that have been used by the Lord and rejected by the Lord. The clothes that he wears, what the Lord discards, the clothes that have been given up by the Lord, Uddhav wears them. He takes only the remnants of the Lord after the Lord has eaten the prasada bhoga. And in this way they started to glorify Uddhav, that he is the most intimate of all the Jadus. He is the most intimate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then Narad Muni asked, where is Uddhav? Where is Uddhav? Where can I find him? They said, he is in the inner part of the palace with Krishna. So Narad Muni became so ecstatic hearing about Uddhav. His legs were faltering with great difficulty. He was almost fainting. He couldn't walk straight. And somehow he came to the inner part of Krishna's palace. And he found that everyone is in great anxiety. And then he found out, he was asking Uddhav, and he saw Uddhav was standing, and there was the different queens. Satyabhama was there, Rukmini was there, Padmavati was there. So, and they all seemed to be in great anxiety. And then, Narad, seeing them, they addressed Narad Muni and made him, greeted him, and told him that today it's already so late, but Krishna did not get up. Krishna is still lying on his bed. He has covered his whole body with his chadar. And so then they started to explain to him that actually Krishna is feeling great separation from Vrindavan. And then they started to describe Padmavati's and others started to describe about the situation of Vrindavan. Rahini Devi was there. also Jwal Balaram's mother Devaki Devi was there, and they started to describe about the situation of Vrindavan since Krishna left. And as Krishna, at that time Balaram came there, and he said, actually, if Krishna is so concerned about them, then why doesn't Krishna go to Vrindavan? And when they started to speak like that in great agony, Krishna actually started to cry. And he started to express his deep her pain of due to his separation from the residence of Vrindavan. And while lamenting in this way, Krishna fainted. And Balaram also fainted, and everyone started to cry. And the sound of their cry reached the Sudharma assembly, and Ugrasen, Vasudev, and everyone came running. And they all were in great lamentation and total bewilderment, seeing Krishna in that condition. And the sound of their cries reached all over the universe. Hearing that, Brahma immediately came there. And seeing the situation, Brahma decided to do something. He himself was about to lose himself, but he felt that, no, I have to do something about it. So then Brahma called Garuda. Garuda also was in deep agony. But Brahma pacified him. He said, but Garuda, you come back to your senses. We have to do something about this situation. So you take these two brothers on your back and go to this Vaivatak mountain in the middle of the ocean. And there, Brahma, there Vishwakarma has created one new Vrindavan. So you take them to new Vrindavan. So then Garuda took Krishna and Balaram on his back, and Brahma suggested Mother Rohini can go there also. But nobody else should be there, visibly there. So others also, Devaki, Padmavati and others, and Narad also went there. And they found, and while driving, while flying there, Balaram came back to his senses. And Garuda told him what actually happened. So then Balaram dressed up Krishna like a cowherd boy. Tucked the flute on his cloth and his beagle and stick, peacock feather on his head, and then he woke him up. Krishna, Krishna, wake up, wake up. It's already so late. So Krishna opened his eyes. No, Krishna didn't even open his eyes. Krishna was still sleeping, meaning unconscious. So Balaram picked him up, made him sit down and said, wake up, Krishna. So he said that it's so late, everyone is just in such anxiety that you didn't get up in time. All the cowherd boys have gone to the field with the cows. So then Krishna woke up and saw Mother Yashoda looking at him. These are all just dioramas, the figures. So, said Mother Yashoda told Mother Yashoda, Mother, are you angry that I overslept today? But you know, I had a dream that I went to some place where I became a king. And then in that, he started to discuss. Balaram said, let's go, Krishna. So, saying that, Balaram went ahead, and then Krishna met Radharani. Said, my dear, you know, I had such an amazing dream that I got married to so many queens. And in their womb I got so many children. And they also got their grandchildren. So then Balarama, Rohini said, Krishna, you just go because it's getting late. I will send the prasad. I'll send the food soon. And then Krishna and Balaram came to the bank of the ocean, and Krishna said, Balaram, I never seen that city across the river, Jamuna. They are seeing the Dwarka city. When did it happen? And then Balaram said, Krishna, you come back to your senses. Your friends, your dear cousins, Pandavas, are in great distress. Shalvas, associates, Jarasandha's associates, and all these people are going to attack them. And you are their only shelter. And hearing that, Krishna said, whoever dares to do anything to my Lord, I will single-handedly, I'll kill all of them. And in this way, Balaram brought Krishna back to his senses and brought him back to Dwarka. And in this way, we got to see who is the greatest devotee. The way Krishna, I couldn't go into the details, the way Krishna dealt with Srimati Radharani, calling her Praneshwari, the lady of my heart and soul. So that way, the residents of Vrindavan had been established as the greatest of all devotees, and among them, Srimati Radharani was the topmost. So in this way, gradually, through Narad Muni, Sanatana Goswami established the greatest devotee, starting from the Brahmana in Prayag, to the king in South India, then to Indra, to Brahma, to Shiva, residents of Vaikuntha, and then Prahlad, then Hanuman, Pandavas, Jadavas, Rajavasis, Srimati Radharani. Srimad Sanatan Goswami Prabhupada ki, Brihad Bhagavatam Ritam ki, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Radha Madhava ki jai, Srimati Radharani ki jai, Samaveto Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande.